This is a Just Verdicts Trial Nugget, produced and powered by LawPods.
Welcome back to Just Verdicts. I'm your host, Brendan Lupitin, with another Trial Nuggets episode. And start by saying it's the little things in life. I got lower profile headphones for this podcast, and I'm loving them. And I feel like I look a lot better, and I need all the help I can get. Today, punitive damage arguments that actually work. Over the next couple of episodes, I'm going to share two similar but different approaches to arguing punitives from two masters, Mark Lanier and Shane Inspector. In this episode, we're going to cover the Lanier argument from his massive Takeda Pharmaceuticals verdict from back in 2014. And then I'll go over the Spector approach from the Goretzka case in the next episode. If you ever find yourself in the fortunate position of arguing punitive damages, I think you'll get a lot out of hearing how Lanier and Spector handle these arguments to get their point across to the jury. Now, before we get into the meat of this episode, I want to throw out there that I'm always looking for interesting guests to join me on the podcast. If you have a verdict you want to talk about or an interesting approach to trial or depositions, or you know someone who would be a great guest, whatever, hit me up and let me know. Selfishly, one of the biggest personal benefits from this podcast for me is learning from everyone I talk to. So I'd love to hear from you or someone awesome you know about. Anyway, on to the main event. So let's start with Mark Lanier's approach from this Takeda Pharmaceuticals case. And this was related to the medication Actos, which there was all sorts of damning documents and files and testimony showing that these companies knew that this medication caused bladder cancer, but continued to sell it to the public. In this particular case, which was for a gentleman, it was a single case. It was a single individual case, which is even more insane when you hear this verdict. But Lanier spent 3 months trying this case, and there had been several bellwethers before this Allen case came about. And the verdicts were solid, but nothing like what happened in this case. And Lanier and his team were able to convince the court that punitive damages should apply. Court grants that, and Lanier gets to give his standard closing argument, and now it's the punitives phase. And this is his argument from the punitive damages. This is from his actual transcript of how he approached the punitives in this case. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your deliberations thus far. Thank you for finding the wrong conduct of the defendants as the cause of Mr. Allen's cancer. Thank you for awarding him monetary damages to make him as whole as he can be, as whole as money can. Now we are about something totally different. Now we are about punishing the companies for their malicious behavior. Punishment. Think about that. If I were to do something wrong on purpose to the great harm or death of others, I would get punished. I would get sent to jail. My life would be ruined. And rightfully so. This is a bedrock of our society. Yet, when a company does something terrible, when a company hurts or kills people for money, there is no option of locking the company in jail. What we get to do is fine that company. We get to assess punitive damages. You get to set those. No. You were charged by her honor to set those. And there are factors to consider when setting them. Now, at this point, Lanier reads the key charge language in that case about the elements of punitive damages to be considered. And then he pivots into, how are you going to fine these defendants? Take Takeda Pharmaceutical. Here we have a Japanese company that is worth $60 billion. How do you fine a company worth $60 billion? Do we even know how much $60 billion is? We know $1 million, but $1 billion? Let's put it into something that makes sense. $60 billion is $60,000 million. In other words, if I have $60 billion, I have $60,000 million. Now, if we eliminate the million part, of that, and we consider it a little bit differently. Let's just say I have $60,000 in my pocket, and you want to fine me for causing cancer to other people through behavior like you found here. What are you going to fine me? $50? Fine me $100 when I have $60,000 in my pocket? That is what it means to write down $50 million or $100 million. This company is worth $60,000 million. You need to speak to this company in an amount that it understands. While you're back in the jury room, you won't be able to see them, but the executives of this company will have their cell phones with the ringers on high. Within 30 seconds of your verdict being read, these executives are going to get a phone call. They will know within 30 seconds what you decide. Your voice will travel from this courtroom around the globe into the boardrooms of Takeda to the highest people in the company. And one of two things will happen. Either you will write punitives of something like $100 million, which is barely anything to them, or you will write something strong, something meaningful, something that makes them say on their cell phones, "Can you repeat that? Did I hear you correctly?" And then business will change. You will change the future. Thank you. Now, Lanier, in an article he gave about this argument, because it was obviously big news, said he wanted to accomplish three things in this argument. Number one, he wanted to emphasize the purpose of punitive damages to these jurors, okay, so that they didn't conflate it with just more money for compensatories. Number two, he wanted to motivate the jurors. And number three, he wanted to thwart the defense efforts to minimize the potential punitive awards. And he said there were several key strategic principles that he applied in doing this. Number one, empowerment over punishment. Lanier said he believes that most jurors already want to do right and punish wrongdoing when it is apparent. But what's missing in his mind to get them to do that is empowerment, showing them that they have the power to do it and that something will happen if they do it. So he tells the jurors that their decision will travel globally and create real change. He paints a vivid picture in the jurors' minds of wealthy executives who would get phone calls within 30 seconds of their verdict. And their decision would either be brushed off as, no big deal, or it would be so large that it would create meaningful change that affects future corporate behavior and really getting the jury to think bigger than the courtroom, think outside what's going to happen if they do what Lanier thinks that they should do. He talks about corporate versus individual consequences. I think that's one of the best parts of this closing is that parallel that he draws with the fact that if an individual person did this, if one of the jurors did this, if Lanier did this type of conduct, that they would go to jail. But companies can do the exact same thing, and there's no criminal consequences to them. So he explains that fines are the only way to carry out the consequences in a language that that the company can understand, which is money. And then as you saw, he tries to make big numbers comprehensible. Now, I am not one to criticize or make constructive recommendations to Mark Lanier, but personally, I found the $60,000 million still somewhat hard to understand. But the point is important. I think what really does work, though, is breaking that number down. Forget 60 million, make it 60,000. Okay, converting it to an amount of money that people are going to have much more personal experience with. And then emphasizing and explaining that with that amount of money, what is an amount of money that if somebody, a total wrongdoer, has $60,000 in their pocket, what amount can you take from them that's going to make them think twice about doing something like that again in the future? And then converting those numbers into what you are suggesting should be the punitive amount. And then finally, as is near and dear to my heart, if you've listened to this podcast at all, he feels that brevity is power. And he says that time is not your ally, and you need to get to the point in punitive arguments. You don't want to belabor the point. And so he only used 7.5 minutes to make his entire punitive damages argument in this case. And it worked. The punitive damage award in that trial, again, this was for a single individual who got very terrible bladder cancer. The punitive award from the jury was $9 billion. As an aside, in my experience, most fellow trial lawyers out there are very cool, friendly, and helpful, and Lanier is no exception. So this verdict hit back in 2014, and it was like the height of my nerding out and fanboydom about trial lawyers and trial. And when I read about the verdict, I found Mark Lanier's email, and I emailed him and asked him for his opening and closing transcripts, never expecting to hear back. But he personally emailed me back the same day, super nice, and just, you know, couldn't be, you know, sort of more humble about everything, and had his assistant send me anything that I wanted that day. And they followed through. And I always thought that was just super cool, because I never expected to even hear back from the guy. Also, Lanier does a yearly trial seminar down in Texas that I've gone to before Maggie from the office has gone, and it's really good. So I highly recommend it if he's still doing it. Anyways, that's it for today's Trial Nuggets. I hope you get to use this argument someday, because it means that you're in a point of a case going really well for you and your client. Now, in the next Trial Nuggets episode, as I mentioned, I'll break down Shane Inspector's approach to punitive damages that he argued in the Goretzka electrocution case from several years ago. And I'll highlight the parallels and distinctions between those two trial grades. So that's it. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, review, and share. And until next time, I'm Brendan Lupitin with Just Verdicts.
If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to the Just Verdicts podcast on your favorite platform and consider leaving a review. And if you're interested in co-counseling, local counseling, or referring a catastrophic injury case, we'd love to work with you. Call us at 412-281-4100 or visit our attorney referral page at pamedmal.com/refer. Thanks for listening.